We had just read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, that we have been changed. Our lives have been transformed. We've been taken out of this world, called apart by the living God, but it's called apart for a service. It's called apart as a priesthood. As we looked last week, as we were trying to conclude our message, we were trying to show you last week that because the temple was gone, the priesthood was also gone. Because that priesthood was gone, there couldn't be any more sacrifices without the temple there. So what is God going to do with his people? What did he have in mind? Well, what we had seen in throughout history, there was an old covenant and that God had promised a new covenant. And something was going to change with that new covenant. Now, what I'd like to do, before we even go any further, I want to talk to you about a priesthood and the priesthood that's in two places. The priesthood, one, that was here on earth. Now, that priesthood was comprised of a tabernacle, later a temple. And that tabernacle had a big wall around it, and there were gates for you to enter into. You were to enter into those gates with thanksgiving. You were to come up to the courts there, entering in with praise so that you were praising God the whole way. This is a place you were going to meet with God. And the first thing you came across was that altar, a place of sacrifice. And at that place of sacrifice, you would bring your sacrifice to the living God that said, this is the payment for my sin. You were going to get your sins atoned for, not taken away, covered. And as that priest offered that, obviously that's a bloody situation there. The next piece of furniture you'd come to was a laver. And there was a wash basin, if you would. And that's where they would clean themselves, their articles, that sort of thing. Then there was that great big tent. Or, as it was with the temple, a great big beautiful building with golden doors on it. The priests, the Levites in particular, could walk through those doors, and once they got inside, so if you want to, we just came up here, there's a laver right there, and here's the tent door. We've walked into the tent door, and what we will find over here will be the table of showbread, a representative of all 12 tribes. So that it was always remembered that in this holy place, all the people of God are included in it, okay? We come over here, and here would be a lampstand. And this lampstand, it was going to provide the light for a whole room here. And this lampstand had to be olive oil poured in it, special olive oil. Had to be done a special way. That's all written for you in the book of Leviticus. And they pour it in there in a special way to make sure the light goes all the time. And then right back here, there was an altar of incense, a special kind of incense. It couldn't be done just any old way. It was a special kind of incense. And what more, that special kind of incense had to be done in a special way, only could be done by the priests and only at the altar of incense. The only place it could be done. By the time we get to the book of Revelation, we start finding this. No mention of the 12 loaves of bread, but there sure is a mention in Revelation 2 and 3 of the heavenly tabernacle. And in this heavenly temple or tabernacle, there's a lampstand. And that lampstand, he said, were the seven churches that he was speaking about. They were the ones that gave light to this particular room. Here, Jesus, as the priest that was ministering there, he came to this altar of incense, and we are told that that is the prayers of the saints. Special prayers. It's done in a special way. One, they always pray in the name of the Lord God. They always pray in the name of Jesus. Secondly, it has to be a prayer that's according to the will of God. So they were people who saw the bigger picture, not the small picture, the bigger picture. So this is what Jesus was offering up right here, was the prayers of the saints. That'd be the saints for all time. You see, there was a tabernacle on earth that's a temple in heaven. And the tabernacle that Moses made was a copy of this one. This is where the ministry goes on. Now, you obviously know that beyond that was the Holy of Holies. And back here in this Holy of Holies, this was where the mercy seat was found. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was found. This is where sacrifice was complete. And if you remember at the resurrection, at the crucifixion, this veil that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies is what was torn. So that we could see clearly into the entrance. Now, in heaven, Jesus Christ entered the whole place. He's got his churches as the light. He's got the prayers of the saints as the incense that's offered up. And he himself was the sacrifice. He himself was the laver that washed you. You've been washed from your sins. He's the one now in this holy place. We are told, enter boldly, enter confidently, because you now have access to this place. And we're to be praying all the time for all people, just like Jesus is praying all the time for you. He's able to make intercession for you because he lives forever. Let's talk about that in just a minute. So let's get your outline. Let's get some things filled in. Why does God need a priesthood? God doesn't need a priesthood. God declared a priesthood. Why? That some group may enter into his ministry. Get this. By being a priest, you're entering into the ministry of the living God. It's a privilege. This is an honor to be able to enter into that ministry. And what's more, it's between you and people. So now, not only do you get to enter into the work of God, you get to enter into the work of people. You're now bringing before God the prayers of people, the needs of people, the sin-bearing of people, the gifts of people. You're bringing them to God Almighty. God made it that way. So if there's a group of people that could share with him in this great and wonderful ministry. All right, let me go on to the second point here, letter B. In Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Matter of fact, just turn there, would you? Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. I want you to see this. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Moses has gone up to God, and the Lord has called to him from the mountain, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now watch what he says in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So look at this. Israel was a select nation out of all nations themselves to be priests. The whole nation was going to be a priest. Why? Because this whole nation, in obedience to him, as they lived obediently to him, he was going to bless them in such a way that this tiny little nation would become the head and not the tail. They would be the ones that all the nations looked at and said, wow, what goes on there? How does such a little place become so wealthy? What is it? And the word would be, it's because of the God they serve. And that testimony would make them priests to all people. They would be a testimony and a witness, but they would be, people would come to them and they would offer up prayers in behalf of those people for God's blessing to rest upon those people. Remember, in the Abrahamic covenant, the one that started this whole thing off, it's about being a blessing. It's blessing Abraham. It's Abraham blessing you. It's the seed that is to come that'll be a blessing to all nations. It's about a blessing. Priests are about a blessing. All right, let me go on further with you. So the role of the priesthood under the old covenant was this. So number one, under letter C, select families for select ministries. This whole tabernacle thing, this was cared for by select families. And they had certain ministries they were supposed to do. One group of guys was supposed to take care of just the furniture in the holy place. One group of guys was supposed to take care of carrying the tent. One group of guys take care of carrying the walls, carrying the posts, carrying all the items of furniture. You're going to move it from one place to another. You've got to have a transportation system. So you had select families out of for select ministries, and they are doing just exactly that. They're carrying all the furniture. Some of them, that was their job to take care of the slaughter of the animals. Some of them was their job to clean up the whole area. Some of them was their job to go into the Holy of Holies. Each of them had a select ministry. I'm going to remind you this. Each one of you have been given a special spiritual gift. You have a ministry within the body of Christ that you're supposed to be carrying out. Select ministries, select people. Isn't that beautiful? You have the opportunity to co-labor with the Holy Spirit in this great work of being a priest. Let me go on further with you. So it was select families for select ministries. They had carefully planned and executed services. They knew what time they were supposed to offer the evening offering. They knew what time they would offer the morning offering. They were the ones who could tell when the new moon began. It was their sighting of the new moon that determined what's the first day of the month. It was their sighting of the old moon that determined when the end of the month was. It was their sightings that led all of Israel to understand this is our timing, this is the schedule, this is the way we operate. It was them who knew when they were supposed to offer the sacrifices, them who knew exactly what the seasons were supposed to be. They had special ministries and special things they were conducting. Not only that, theirs was to glorify God in offerings to God for God. They were to honor Him above all things. It was to glorify God in offerings to God, for God, and to honor Him above all things. They were the ones who were going to keep the holiness of God very visible for all the people to see. They were the ones who were going to get to minister in the cloud. This is where their station was in life. And everybody else was encamped around this tabernacle, and the priests were to help people understand the holiness of Almighty God. The priests were the ones who took the gift offerings of people. Sometimes people would just get up in the morning and say, this is a wonderful day. You know what? First thing I'm going to do is give thanks to God. And they'd bring a gift. Here's a grain offering I want to give to the Lord today. It became the priest's function to bring that to God with thanksgiving himself. He was supposed to have the same heart. Wow, they're bringing gifts. I'm going to offer a gift too. And they would offer up gifts. They were gifts given to God for God. There were times when they did sacrifices, and they were doing that for God. They were doing it in behalf of the people for Almighty God. This is the way sins were going to be cared for. Going on further, they were to be intermediaries, intercessors between God and man. They're to be intermediaries and intercessors between God and man. When anybody had a need, the priest was to be there to pray for that man, pray for that woman. To help them all understand the law of God. They were to be the ones who helped them see who God was. This was the ministry of priests on the earth, to be intercessors. That is, they were supposed to enter into the same feeling with the person who had been an offender, and with that, offer up a sacrifice as the same kind of person. We, Jesus Christ, did us, is it not? He's our intercessor. He's the one that prays for us day in, day out. He entered into the same life we had. He was a priest just like a priest who tasted everything that we taste. Number five, they were to be preservers and the teachers of Torah. That's the teachings of God. They were to help people. They were supposed to keep copies of it. They were the ones who were supposed to take care of it. They were the ones supposed to protect it with their lives. Because this was the Word of God. They knew it was the Word of God, and they wanted to make sure that everybody understood all those stars you see, just like we sang about this morning. I love those songs this morning. All those stars you see, who put them there? See, now you go back to Genesis 1, he tells you he's the one who put them there. See that moon? See that stars? See those plants? That's all God that put there. Hey, you see all the animals? Guess who made all those? God made all those. And they were to keep that alive all the time. You remember where we came from? Abraham. That's where we came from. And here's what Abraham's life story is about. They're the ones through Torah that are going to keep that going. You see, they were supposed to teach each generation so that the same truthful information was passed on from one generation to the next generation. I can go on further. Number six. To keep the ministry of the tabernacle and the temple current and in keeping with the teachings of God. Can you imagine this? They did the same thing every day, 24/7. Had to keep it with the teachings of God, certain way it's supposed to be done, certain way you're supposed to do it. You know, I think we can understand now why in those families you only got to minister 1 week. And then you were out. You had to wait for your rotation because you know what it would be like if you didn't rotate out? You get into the routine of it. Okay, I'll do a little incense now. Okay, there's a little incense. Oh, yeah, it's half full. That's good enough. Okay, I got some, looks like I need a little oil. I'll pick it up on the next shift. You get tired of it after a while. How do you keep it current? Let me ask you, how do you keep your life current? So that it's not just a routine that you get so used to, you're bored with it. How do you keep it fresh? You see, each one of those priests had to stay fresh themselves. They had to stay current with what's supposed to happen here. What if one of the guys came in and said, you know what? I was down the other day in town, and I saw the Baal worshipers. You know how they do this? They do this little bit of thing right here. That sounds cool. Why don't we try that? Man, they were never supposed to do that. You understand what I'm saying? How do you keep it current? How do you keep everybody else current with it too? Oh, no, not another sacrifice. We got to make a sacrifice again today. I killed like 50 yesterday. How many got to do today? Theirs was to stay fresh. How many of you know this? To stay fresh in your ministry, you've got to stay up with God. You got to keep looking at Awana every day and saying, this isn't just an old habit routine. I'm changing lives here today. I'm affecting people here today. I have no idea what this kid is going to be like. This one that's coming in here, I don't know. He may be the greatest guy that ever hit the earth if he remembers the Word of God. And you got to stay fresh yourself and refresh yourself. So did they. When they didn't, it became routine. And when it became routine, they weren't doing it well anymore at all. So they were to keep the ministry of the tabernacle and temple current in keeping with the teachings of God. And number 7, they were to continue in perpetuity the revealed ministry and character of God. They couldn't change what God had ordained. And they had to keep revealing the good character of God as they interacted with Him. It's their responsibility. They've got to show the goodness of God, the character of God all the time. They've got to be able to show the sternness of God, the severity of God, just as much as they've got to show the mercy and grace of God. They could not do one more than the other. They had to be able to do them so that people knew the good character of God. That was their ministry here on earth. Okay? Consider with me now. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 just for a moment, would you? Hebrews chapter 4. And as you're turning there, we're going to be at verse 14. As you're turning there, I want you to rehearse with me. It won't be long. We'll start singing Christmas songs. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Why do we sing little town of Bethlehem? What's that about? Why Bethlehem? Because that's where he was born. Why was he born there? Yeah, Scripture tells us that. Why did Scripture say he had to be born there? How'd they get Mary and Joseph back there again? There was a census, right? And why did Mary and Joseph have to go to Bethlehem? Because it was the city of David. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, right? He's of that lineage of David. Well, let's back up a minute. What family is David a part of? Levi. No. Judah. Now look here. The select family for the ministry of the tabernacle and the temple was Levi. And Levi only. Can't be anybody else. Now watch this. Along comes this family line of Judah. David. Mary, Joseph. They make a big deal about it in the Scriptures that Jesus was of the lineage of David. Why? Because the forever king was promised to the lineage of Judah and David. What we're about to read ought to be a puzzle to us as we think about his family line. Let's look at it. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What? It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Wait a minute. Jesus is the high priest? Jesus is the line of Judah. There is no family line of Judah that's a priest, let alone a high priest. You see, we have to remember there was this temple and tabernacle on earth. And the ministry of the tabernacle on earth was done by Levites. But the ministry of the tabernacle on earth was a copy of the one that was in heaven. The real one is the one that's in heaven. This one here is a copy of the real one. As the scriptures call it, it's the shadow of things to come. The real one is in heaven, where we are told now the great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, has entered into. He's the one that's there, and he's entered it as the high priest. So let's take a look at some things that have to do with that. Let's go on. I want you to read all the way down into verse 5, or chapter 5. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15 of chapter 4 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but it was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that's the Holy of Holies, and that's the one that's in heaven, not the one that's on earth, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now watch what it goes. Chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Wow. Let's take that apart just a little bit. The two priests who are compared, because we've got a high priest that was supposed to minister the tabernacle on earth, and that one had to come from Aaron, a son of Levi. So only that guy could, and his family could minister to the Holy of Holies. But that one is about to go. This is written probably around 60, 68 AD. The temple's going to be destroyed in a couple of years. So there won't be a temple for the Levites to minister in just a few years. The writer of Hebrews is not, he hasn't seen that yet because it hasn't been taken away yet. But the ministry has been gone. A new high priest has taken over and a whole new tabernacle and temple is before us now. It's the one in heaven. And that great high priest is in it there. Let's get these written down for us. Priesthoods compared. Notice this. In both situations, the priest has to be called and appointed by God. The priest has to be called and appointed by God. You don't just decide I'm going to be a priest. You have to be called and appointed by God. Number two, they were weak humans to feel compassion. Weak humans to feel compassion. Now, we see here, he can have compassion, verse 2 says, on those who are ignorant, the Levite priest, and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. He knows himself, I'm a weak guy, and I can have compassion on people who have stumbled and fallen and hurt themselves. I understand that. Well, get this. You have a great high priest. Look at verse 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The great high priest who is ministering for you was tempted just like you were, but he didn't sin. The others, the Levitical priest, was tempted like you and did sin. So because he did sin, he's going to have to offer sacrifices for himself. We'll get that one in just a moment. Notice this, that in all priesthood, they're to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. That's what we just saw in verse 1 of chapter 5, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. There were some limits to the Aaronic and Levitical priesthood. Let's take a look at those. In verse 2 of chapter 5, he says, he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. So here, what do I know? This was the limitation of the Aaronic and Levitical priesthood. First of all, they were sinners who had to offer sacrifice for themselves also. These are weak guys. These are sinners themselves. They've got to offer sacrifices for themselves as much as they have to offer sacrifices for the people themselves. Number two, they were mortal and could not continue from generation to generation. So part of their weakness was they couldn't continue in their intercessions because they were dying. So you had to keep having new guys born in, new guys brought in all the time to keep some ministry going, but it can't be the same guy. The great benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ, letter C, the superiority he had is he's the eternal Son of God. He's the eternal Son of God. He lives forever. Because he's the eternal Son of God, there's something you can count on with that high priest. That high priest can minister for you all of the time. He's the eternal Son of God. Number two, he's without sin, though tempted like we were. So the beautiful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, what makes his priesthood so much better, is that he is free of sin and doesn't have to keep offering sacrifices for himself, for people. He's offered one sacrifice because he's free of sin. His sacrifice is good forever. You'll never have to have another sacrifice again. Number three, being without sin, he did not need to offer up a sacrifice for himself. Being without sin, he did not need to offer up a sacrifice for himself. Number four, he did not offer up multiple sacrifices, but offered himself as the final one. That's it. There's not going to be another need for bringing any more animals, any more bulls, goats, any of that. He's going to offer up a sacrifice one time for everyone. And you'll come to that one time sacrifice that this great high priest has offered for you. And because he offered himself as a sacrifice, the beauty is he rose again from the dead after that sacrifice that he might be an eternal Son of God to offer up sacrifices and gifts forever in behalf of the people. Number five, he was called and appointed by God with an oath sworn by God himself as the eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek in the heavenly temple of God. Go with me, please. Look here in chapter 5, verses 5 and follow. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." And he's going to even tell us as later in this chapter, in the chapter 6 also, that he swore by an oath. "I swear by myself, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Who's Melchizedek? That's for next week. That's not for this week. Not going to let you know about that one until then. Number six, he is ending the Levitical priesthood with his fulfillment of the law in his death and resurrection. He's bringing that priesthood to a close so he can offer a new one. He's ending the Levitical priesthood with his fulfillment of the law in his death and resurrection. With the Levitical priesthood, verse number 7, ended, there had to be a change in the law also. Oh, I'm going to look forward to camping on that one for a while. That's why the law changed. You see, the Levitical Aaronic priesthood on earth is changing because he's changing the things on earth. He's taking you right off earth, square into heaven. That's where we're citizens. This is where our offering is. This is where our gifts are. This is where life is. That's where we're headed. That's what he's done. Isn't that beautiful? So since it's now a heaven thing and not an earth thing, there's got to be a change in the law. That's why there is a new covenant, and he's finished with the old covenant. The old covenant had served what its time was supposed to do. Now there's a new covenant, which puts us into new law situations. There is a difference in sacrifices now. We don't offer sacrifices anymore except the sacrifice of praise. We don't offer sacrifices anymore except a living one. Remember Romans chapter 12 says that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. It's not dead things anymore. The only dead thing was Jesus. And he's alive. All right? Boy, I want to do more with that. Number 8, the change in the law would be the new covenant with a new priesthood. And because of that, we're going to come to number 3. And I set that up so that we could be in next week talking about your new priesthood. To know that you're after a new line of people. You are priests to Fairview Heights. You are priests to Belleville. You are priests to O'Fallon, Collinsville, Cahokia, East St. Louis, Washington Park. We are priests to those areas. And as priests of those areas, we have a ministry to carry out to them as intermediaries, as intercessors, as those who offer up gifts in their behalf, because some of them don't know yet. And you've been born again. You are that priest. We want to talk about what our ministry is going to be. We want to talk about who Melchizedek is and what that's got to do with anything. It's a beautiful, beautiful account of your brand new life in Almighty God. It should give you this idea, hallelujah, I have an ongoing ministry. I'm a part of an eternal ministry, not just simply a little earthly thing that goes from here, that starts when I was born again and ends when I get finally back home again. No, you're part of an eternal ministry, something that's been going on all the way back, I know, as far as at least Enoch. And certainly through Melchizedek. Oh, brothers and sisters, join me in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that he is. Thank you for the love of God that's in our hearts already. Thank you that you have changed who we are. You've given us a whole new leadership. You've given us everything that we need to be the brand new creatures that we are. Thank you for it. And we ask that you would minister to our hearts just now and grant that we might be touched all the way to our core. This wonderful new ministry that's been given to us. I'm going to thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.